Hello, everyone. Today is May 30th, 2026. Welcome to the Working with Others sponsorship meeting. Elizabeth M. will now share up to 35 minutes her experience of sponsoring and working with others. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for asking me to speak. My name is Elizabeth, and I am a grateful recovering compulsive eater. Want to congratulate the group on their year of working together, finding unity to be of service. It's what an achievement. Thank you for including me on your anniversary. I'm really grateful. So I was asked to speak about sponsorship. So I just want to start by saying that I've been speaking to my OA sponsor for 22 years, every single day at 7:30 in the morning, unless I'm in Europe. But no matter where I am in the United States, 7:30 in the morning, I make a phone call. My abstinence date is July 14th, 1997. So I've been doing this for a little time. I am fully vested in this idea that, the practical experience is that nothing will so much ensure immunity from my compulsive eating than intensive work with others. I fully align with that statement in the big book. And at the moment right now, I am sponsoring 8 people. So my first phone call starts at 5:45 in the morning. And then the last sponsee phone call is at 7:30 at night. And I essentially spend 2 hours a day helping others. And some people may say you're out of your freaking mind. I know that the life that I have, the amazing life that I have, the amazing relationships that I have, are a result of what I learned in the crucible of sponsorship. So let me just kind of walk you backwards through my thinking. Just background, I'm a massive trauma survivor. I arose from a household governed by the disease of addiction. Crazy things happened. I've survived every type of trauma that a little girl can survive. And so there was no way I came out of that household with healthy relationship skills. And so if you're new, and if you're wondering why you need a sponsor, why you should sponsor, I just want to remind you all right now that, like the big book says, food is but a symptom of the problem. And the problem we have is not food. The problem is relationships. Relationship with ourselves. If I can say for sure, right, that I did not have a healthy relationship with myself when I came in. I was full of self-delusion, lots of blind spots, anger, you know, resentment, fear, and I hated myself. And I thought I was the lowest of the low. So I didn't have a very good relationship with myself. And if I can't have a decent relationship with myself, I certainly can't have a decent relationship with you. And if I can't have a healthy relationship with myself and I can't have a healthy relationship with you, then I can't have a healthy relationship with the God of my understanding, which is, in my world, the collective we. We are all, you know, component parts of the living garment of God. So I can't find God unless I'm connected to you. So I don't have a problem with food. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't have a problem with drugs. What I have is a problem with relationships. And all of those substances and unhealthy behaviors was simply the symptoms of that underlying problem. So, what can I tell you about sponsorship? Well, like I said, it's a relationship disease. We start from a place where most of us come in and we're governed by fear. Most of us are struggling with trust. Most of us are struggling with a false narrative and twisted perceptions about ourselves and the world, which is by definition what it means to be an addict. So, in order for us to get better, in order for us to be able to get to the place where we put down the food and we have an opportunity to find a different way to live, to find the power greater than ourselves that will restore us to sanity, we have to find trust and safety first. And it has been, my experience that that trust and safety starts with a phone call to a sponsor. Now, I would love to tell you that I came into the rooms and bought in, got a sponsor day one, and was abstinent from that moment. But that would be a lie. That I, as I said, I came from a household where I survived every kind of trauma that a young girl could survive. And so I had all sorts of issues with trust and safety, and even believing that I had any worth and value, and that anyone would find worth and value in me, because the people who were responsible for that trauma were the people that adopted me. So I sat in the rooms for 2.5 years, ducking and diving, waiting for the last 5 minutes of the meeting to do the burning desire, and then verbally vomiting all over everybody, and then bolting out the door because I didn't want to talk to any of you, and I didn't think any of you really wanted to talk to me. And there was one night when this woman followed me in the parking lot, and I honestly thought that she had followed me out to tell me not to come back to the meeting, right? That was my thinking. And she stopped me and she's like, "Elizabeth, I am so tired of listening to you. So I'm just telling you now, I'm your sponsor and you're on step four, and here's what you need to do." And because I had, found this Monday night meeting, and it was a place where I could go where I so related to what was going on, and I was so afraid of losing that I did what she told me to do. And 2 weeks later, we sat across from each other in the Seaport Diner in Port Jefferson, and I gave away my first fifth step. And my whole world changed. My whole world changed because someone saw me and didn't reject and abandon me. Didn't say, "Lose my phone number." Didn't say, "I'm going home and getting a shower." Didn't say, "What the hell is wrong with you? You should be ashamed of yourself." She sat across the table from me and she said, "That was amazing. Thank you for sharing yourself with me. I love you. Let's finish dinner." And what I understand now, what I truly understand now is that, up until that point, I had an understanding of the word of God. I was brought up, in a building where there's books and people in robes, and stories that are 2 to 5,000 years old. And I had, this information pounded into my head about who these people were and what they did and, who was related to who. I could pass the test. But I had zero relationship with the God of my understanding. I thought the God of my understanding was disappointed in me, didn't have any patience or time for me, didn't think I had any worth and value. But sitting in that diner across the table from this woman, I had the first experience of God. And it changed my entire life. And that was the beginning of my abstinence. When I finally allowed someone to see this much of me. I would love to tell you that my first fifth step was like the truth. It wasn't. It was this much. And it was as much as I felt safe enough to share. But it was enough for me to have that connection, to have that place of safety and trust that our recoveries are built around. If you can't get someone to a place of safety and trust, they will not remain in the rooms. So when I think about this journey of sponsorship, I have no mercy. Right. So if I work with you, you're working your ass off. And you are going to get busy helping others day one. And the reason when I start to sponsor someone, I have guardrails, first phone call. I just need you to know that I'm not sponsoring you to help you. I'm sponsoring you so you'll help others. So when I say it's time for you to put your hand out and start providing service to others, the answer is yes, or these phone calls stop. So I am very clear from the beginning of the conversation that my expectation is that other people will do for others what's being done for them. I also am very clear that the relationship will only move forward if there's willingness demonstrated. I carry the message, not the mess. So when the conversation comes to, someone who just wants to call and live in the self-pity and live in the it's so hard, I align with what is said in the big book. And I'm like, well, clearly this isn't working. So maybe it's time for you to find another sponsor because what I'm saying isn't helping you. To create the understanding, right, that this is all about moving forward. I also, when I sponsor people, you call me at the same time every single day. Hell or high water, unless literally in China or, I'm out of the country and there's too big of a time zone. You call every single day. And the reason that I do that is twofold. First, is that is a commitment to yourself. That is, I am going to stop my day and I am going to make an investment in myself by making a phone call, asking for help, and being put on the path to get better. The second reason I do that is part of what I do for a living is help people change their behavior. And the reality of it is, you don't change your behavior when you're reminded once a week. We live in step 10 and step 11, which means we stay in this day and we work in this day. So there's a daily phone call. Unless it's extenuating circumstances, that daily phone call is no more than 15 minutes long. If I can't help you get out of your head in 15 minutes, you're not getting out of your head. And so I keep the conversation, unless there's something really big and traumatic going on. It's a 15-minute phone call, and the whole phone call is focused on recovery. Always about the solution, never about the problem. Someone will call and say, blah, 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 blah. And my response will be, let's go, let's apply the steps. Sounds to me like you're stuck in step one. Sounds to me like you're stuck on step four. Sounds to me like there's an amends here. Sounds to me like your higher power showed up. Let's have a conversation about what your higher power wants from you. Everything that I do in the conversations with the people that I help are focused on one thing: helping the people who are calling me see the God of their understanding in their daily lives. Whole purpose of this conversation, right? We don't come into the rooms. Well, we do. Many of us come into the rooms because we want to get to a certain weight. We want to stop the eating. We want to stop, whatever behavior is going on. Bottom line is, and the only way we can do that is by building a relationship with something bigger than ourselves that can help restore us to sanity. So every conversation needs to be, in my world, where is God in all of this? How can I help you see the God of your understanding operant in what's happening in your day, 5 minutes at a time, so that you can begin to see that your higher power is, in fact, operating in your life and doing for you what you could not do for yourself? So the focus is always on this conversation of what can I do to help you find your way to seeing God in what's in the mess. I think it's important for me to say that I think it's important for me to say that there is a really important consideration that most people lose sight of when they think about sponsorship. And that sponsorship, that idea is that, I talk to a lot of people every day. I have two sponsors, so there's 10 phone calls every day that I'm engaged with. I know without a doubt that I'm not saving anybody. The only person I save when I get on any of these phone calls is myself. And if you have the time, and you want to sit down and you want to read the 12th step in the AA 12 and 12, I was shocked the first time I read it because I went there looking for instructions for how to sponsor. And what the AA 12 and 12 is about is the benefit to us when we choose to be of service. The whole chapter is about what happens to us when we choose to put our hands out. So I get on the calls, and yes, I know that no matter how far down the scale I have gone, I will see my experience benefit others. So I'm answering these phone calls and I'm talking with the people that I sponsor, not because I'm changing them. What I'm doing is sharing my experience with them and creating a path for them. I am laying tools at their feet. Here's what I would suggest. Here's what I did when I was in a similar situation. Here's a thought that just popped into my head. Maybe it'll be helpful for you. Here's a page in this book. Here's a page in that book that you might find useful for you. What you do with it has none of my business and has absolutely nothing to do with me. I get up. I make, receive these phone calls because it keeps me close to God. It keeps me looking for God. It gives me the opportunity to see my higher power operating in other people's lives. I see how I could have an awareness or understanding in my life. And 5 minutes later, I get to see, wow, that's exactly what this person needs. And so this isn't about me changing anybody but me. I just get up, put my hand out so that I have the opportunity to get the benefit of staying in the solution all day long. Because when I'm in the solution, when I'm talking to somebody that I sponsor, I have to be in the solution. And that carries me through some of the really difficult days that I have because I know I'm getting 8 phone calls. And throughout my day, I'm going to have touch base after touch base after touch base, and then my 2 calls to my sponsors. So I'm staying in the solution and staying connected in the conscious contact all day long. So if you're new, and you're in this place of, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know the books like you. I can't quote the pages. I've only gone through the first couple of steps. So I don't think I can sponsor. My response to that is, you should be really grateful that Bill Wilson didn't feel that way. Bill Wilson understood, one of the co-founders of AA, that the only way that he was going to stay sober was to get out of himself to help another person. And when Bill Wilson found Bob Smith, who is the second co-founder of AA, there was no 12 and 12. There was no big book. There were no meetings. There were two drunks in a really small, really dark room in Akron, Ohio, having a conversation about their truth. So, you don't need to be able to spout the pages or need to have a decade of time to put your hand out because you have everything you need right now. If you are abstinent for 30 days or more, I don't know what the framework is for this meeting, but in my home group, it's 30 days for more. You get your hand out and you begin to work because it is in that discussion of helping others that you begin to change. You get the gift of staying connected and moving forward. You also have an opportunity to really work on a problem that virtually every addict has when they first walk in the rooms. And I'll tell you, I'm coming up on 30 years and I still have this character defect. It's called selfishness, self-centeredness. We, by definition, selfish, self-centered, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, and self-pity. Page 62 of the big book, right? By definition, we have a problem with it being all about us. You cannot heal a disease of selfishness with more selfishness. You can only heal a disease of selfishness with selflessness. And that's what it means to get up at 5:45 in the morning to listen to a virtual stranger verbally vomit all over you, bring their crazy first thing in the morning as a gift to yourself to get out of yourself and be of service. Service is what changes us. Now, I like to say that that when I think about excuse me, when I think about sponsoring people, what I see in my life is step 7 and 9 at work. I'm sure I'm the only person on this call who came in with character defects. I'm sure you all were perfect when you arrived here and that you had no step six work to do. That wasn't my journey. My journey was characterized by a lot of character defects, selfishness, self-hatred, dishonesty, no boundaries, fear of people, fear of economic insecurity, fear of freaking everything. And I was told, step six is the step that separates the men from the boys. This is where the change begins. Okay, great. I waited for the magic wand and then realized there was no magic wand. And what was happening is that my higher power was sending me people, asking me to sponsor them. That forced me to up my game. First person, called me 5 minutes before we agreed to speak, or 7 minutes after we agreed to speak, but never at the time we agreed to speak. So, what does that do to my life? It gives them control, right? Oh, yeah, I was really busy this morning. So I hope you don't mind. I'm calling you 45 minutes later. It took a lot the first time for me to say, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Click. It took a lot the first time that a sponsee did not like what I had to say and started screaming at me on the phone. It took a lot the first time that I had to learn to say, I didn't sign up for you to yell at me. So when you're ready to have a conversation with me, as you know, a respectful conversation with another adult, call me back. Click. Took a lot the first time when I was listening to somebody for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks who didn't take the suggestion that I kept providing. Why don't you try this? This worked for me. Maybe you should think about this. Again and again and again. Finally, look, love you. Think it's amazing that, you're calling me every single day, but I think maybe you should call me after you take the suggestion to let me know how it goes. Click. Because this process taught me boundaries, taught me where the lines were, taught me to require, right? I'm not a victim, I'm a volunteer. If I allow someone that I sponsor to call whenever they want because it's convenient for them, I'm not a victim, I'm a volunteer. So I began to learn these boundaries. I began to I don't know about the rest of you, but when I first came in, it was really hard for me to tell you the truth about your behavior. And that wasn't helping anybody. And I eventually began to find ways to bring the truth into a conversation. And in with the people that I sponsor, we have this thing called a fuck you, thank you discussion. So we move along the conversation. I will say to the person I'm sponsoring, I just want you to know that I love you. And if you hang up the phone on me right now, I'll be okay with that. I'll still take your call tomorrow. I think you need to hear this and then say what I need to say. And if they decide to go crazy and curse at me and whatever, love you. Talk to you tomorrow. Click. And inevitably, everything works out because I created the frame to say, I'm not sure you're going to want to hear this morning. However, I think you need to go back and make an amends. I think you had your hands in a situation that your hands shouldn't have been in yesterday. Why don't you take a look at whatever? Being able to deliver the truth in a loving, kind way without getting triggered and blown up myself is a gift of sponsorship. I'll tell you right now, I have two kids, and both of them tell me I'm a great parent. Want to know why? Because I've sponsored so many people. They had nowhere to go because I had these skills that I had learned because I was talking to, compulsive eaters, alcoholics, addicts, and putting boundaries around and reinforcing and keeping the focus on the spiritual growth. When I think about what I do for other people, I think about this understanding of the definition of love that is operant in my life. Love is the selfless promotion of the growth of another. So I can get into this conversation, and even if I have to give you news that I know that you are not going to like, that is still loving behavior on my part. And getting out of the codependency, getting out of the guilt, getting all twisted up, all came out of sponsoring people, working the way through the process. Now, I will tell you right now, I was never sponsored the way that I sponsor others. I made the decision when I started sponsoring that I was going to sponsor people the way I wanted to be sponsored. And with this understanding, and again, I do the work in my own recovery. You'll do the work in yours. I'll lay the path. I'll offer suggestions. I'll give you tools. What you do with them is up to you. It's not up to me. It has been, from my perspective, an incredible journey. Absolutely incredible journey, because I see, literally see, the God of my understanding rubbing off character defects through this gift of sponsorship, through the commitment that I'm going to show up, I'm going to unconditionally love and accept you for who you are, where you are, and I'm going to bring the best version of me to that conversation. Even on the days when I don't want to bring the best version of me, I'm going to bring the best version of me, because that's me practicing spiritual muscle. That's me getting out of myself, putting down my selfishness, showing up to see what happens in the conversation. I will be really clear. I do not have a problem letting go of people who aren't doing the work. I have no problem with that. First, because I understand that what I have to give away is really valuable. Don't waste my time. And if you're not ready, you're not ready. That's great. That's fine. I understand that. But I work with people, who want to do, what is it says, page 315 of the big book, maybe. This is not a program for people who want it. This is not a program for people who need it. It's a program for people who want it. In my world, it's a program for people who do it. And if you're not making the decision to suit up every day, take the suggestion and run the ball, then maybe this isn't the relationship for you. And my out is always, look, I've been talking to you for a year. Every single day, I've been talking with you for a year. It's not helping. So me to stay on this path with you when you are still struggling is ego on my part. So I'm going to put down my ego and suggest that it doesn't seem like I'm able to help you. Maybe you need to find someone who can. And then that way, it's not, because it is in fact the reality. If what I'm saying isn't working, I'm not helping. Find someone who can. That is a loving thing to do. So I keep that in the back of my mind. All right. So I said 35 minutes. I have a couple more minutes to just kind of run through this. Do not think that you are in control of who you sponsor or who sponsors you. The God of your understanding has a much bigger plan than you will ever imagine. When I was thinking about this conversation tonight, I was reflecting on there was a woman that I sponsored 15 years ago who she struggled, she struggled, she struggled, she struggled. And she called me one day and she was just beside herself emotionally. And I asked her what happened, and she said that her 7-year-old son was rushed to the hospital. He was having seizures. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, he has this rare disease that's a function of a rheumatic fever or a strep infection. And she's like, and I can only find one website with any information on it. And I said to her, I said, is it Sydenham's Korea? And she's like, how did you know that? I said, because that's my website. And I was like, let me connect you to the people that you need. Hang on a second. I'm going to get you a doctor that can help. Right. 2 weeks later, I never heard from her again. So it was about that conversation. An example that I give in my journey in this conversation is when I'm in multiple fellowships and I outgrow sponsors quickly, or I have to find other people to speak to beyond my sponsor to just keep fostering my spiritual growth. And when I was in AA, my sponsor moved away and the timing wasn't working, so I needed to find a new sponsor. And one of the people that I sponsored was like, you need to go to this meeting on the beach. You're going to find a woman there. She's an AA rock star. Why don't you ask her for someone to help you sponsor you? And I was like, oh yeah, that's going to happen, right? But every Sunday morning, I would think about this meeting. Every Sunday morning, I would think about this meeting. And I always had a reason to not go, but I would think about this meeting. So you fast forward 8 months later, I get a phone call from a woman in Overeaters Anonymous. And she's like, Elizabeth, I want you to come and speak at our 30-year anniversary. And I was like, I just spoke at your meeting. You don't want me to speak again. I was there 3 months ago. No, we really want you to speak here. I'm having surgery a week after this meeting. I got a lot going on. Really want you to speak at the meeting. I'm putting my sailboat in the water. That morning, I have to rework everything. We really want you to speak at this meeting. So, long story short, what do we do when we're told, do you want to speak at the meeting? The answer is yes. This meeting's 2 hours away from my house. I live in the greater New York area, right? So I'm sitting in traffic to get to this meeting. 2 hours of traffic. The meeting's 2 hours long, 2 hours home. It's a whole day to speak at this meeting. And I would love to tell you I was in a great mindset when I walked in the room to find out there was a second speaker. I was so pissed. And I speak first, know exactly what I spoke about, finish speaking, and this woman jumps to her feet and gives me a standing ovation. What is this, right? This is a shock to me. So the other speaker goes. I'm saying to myself, I got to speak to this woman, find out, you know, what it was that I said that motivated her to be so engaged. And I walked over to this woman and I said to her, you know, I am humbled by your response to my message. And she hands me a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper is written the name, address, and phone number of this AA rock star that I had been thinking about for 8 months. And I was like, oh my God, I've been thinking about you forever. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is an OA meeting. I know about you in AA. Do you have a problem with food? And she's like, no. I'm like, then what are you doing here? And she's like, oh, when Adele started this meeting 30 years ago, I was the AA public information officer. I helped Adele start this meeting. So I come to one Overeaters Anonymous meeting every year for 35 years. And this year, it's this one. Now, I had
Elizabeth,
I'm finishing now.
speaking and speaking. Okay, right on.
So I just want to point out to you, don't judge the journey. Don't question who's coming your way. Don't question where you're being led, because the bottom line is you are being led somewhere. And your sponsees will teach you more than you will ever teach them, because they are going to force you to grow. They're going to force you to rise. And so my absolute recommendation is you make the decision to put your hand out. You make the decision to be uncomfortable in the process, and then you'll watch your life change. So thanks for listening. Thanks for having me tonight. I hope something I said was helpful.
Wow, thank you so much. Elizabeth, I'm going to stop the recording.